You know, there are three people in this story, really. There are others behind the story, but there was the father, there was the older son, and there was the younger son. Three people. I was thinking about that. You know, some people like alliterations. I had a professor who loved alliteration. Almost every lecture he gave, it would be alliterative. It would have headings that all began with the same word or sense or sound. Sorry if I'm using a word you're not familiar with, some of you, but it's a fascinating way of speaking. Everything sort of comes in points and sounds almost the same. I was thinking about it, I thought, well, three people. There was a dad, there was a dud, and you know what the other one was? Anyway, I'll let you guess. Dude. You know, there's three guys in this story. The dad, the dud, and the dude. There was the father who loved. There was the son who did not love. And there was the other guy who didn't know how to love. So this fellow, by the way, I may have told you this other breakdown of the story. It says you have his badness, you have his sadness, and you have his gladness. Remember last week we talked about something that was lost, something that was looked for, and something that was laughed about. So you can put it all ways you like. But this preacher, he had his message all cut down in little points and subpoints and subheadings. And he said, now first of all, we have his badness. And under that, we have 3 points. We have him cavilling. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that word. Kind of debating with his dad. We have him cavilling, we have him travelling, we have him reveling. Point number one, subheadings. 1, 2, 3. And then he said, now we have his badness. He went to the dogs. He ate with the hogs and holy jars. Okay? And then he said, point number 3, his gladness. He ate the veal. He received the seal. And they danced a reel. That's pretty good alliteration, isn't it? Isn't it a sad story to think that this young guy, living on this, I gather, nice estate, with servants, hired people, all kinds of helpers, and he wants to leave home, takes off. And as the preacher said, he really did. He went to the dogs. In all this money, instead of investing it for his retirement, he blew it all. And it says this, when it was all gone, there was a great famine in the land. So he was without his home, he was without food, he was without anything. Blown it all. What a sad situation. There are still people who do that kind of thing, aren't there? Just everything they get, they burn, throw away. And then they expect the government to look after them. Well, nobody looked after him, it says. It actually says in the text, and no man gave unto him. Well, he had lots of friends when he had money and fun, parties. They all took off when his money was gone. Nobody gave him a cent. Well, he decided to go check up with a farmer and see if he could get a job. You know that job the farmer gave him? He said, you can look after the pigs. Now, I'm not sure whether this is in sort of in the story, but the idea probably is that for a Jew, that was the lowest, wretchedest job you could have, feeding pigs. Nowadays, of course, there are some beautiful farms where they raise pigs. We eat their bacon and ham and so on. But of course, to a Jew, that was just terrible. They don't even eat bacon and eggs or anything like that. No ham, no nothing to do with pigs. And yet, here's this guy, and that's the job he has to take. Not only that, remember, he had nothing in his pocket, and nothing to eat. And he saw those pigs, and they were gobbling up the pods with the seeds in them. That's the word that's used in the text. And it says, he envied those pigs. Boy, you've got to be down and out to be envying pigs. They'll eat anything. What a sad situation to be in. I believe one preacher said as he sat there among the pigs, it made him think of home. That's not very nice to say, is it? But I hope home wasn't like that. But there is a very important word that comes into the story just there. It says, when he came to himself, or as I think it's the NIV puts it, when he came to his senses. He came to his senses. You know, if you ever want to come to your senses, it's to get to the bottom of the ladder and down in the dirt. And that will often bring you to your senses. There are a lot of people, oh sure, they're enjoying life, everything's great. But when it's all gone, and when their friends are gone, and when the booze is gone, and when the drugs are no longer available, sometimes people come to their senses. As the King James Version puts it, he came to himself. I heard it explained like this one day, that he was absolutely impoverished. He had a penny in his pocket. So he decided to sell his jacket. So he sold his jacket. When that was gone, he sold his tie. Then he sold his shirt. Then he sold his undershirt. And when he came to himself, he said, I'm going home. I'm not quite sure that's what it means. He came to himself, to his senses. So this is crazy. There's my father with servants and hired people, and they're all very happy. They've got lots of food to eat. They've got a nice bed to lie down on. They've got all the comforts of home. And here am I, his son, starving to death. What's the matter? So, you remember what he did? It says, he thought to himself, I'm going home. I will arise and go to my father, and I'm going to say to him, and he got a little sort of thing ready in his head. Father, I have sinned against God and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Would you please make me as one of your hired men? Do you know what he had said to his father? Dad, I'm leaving. I don't want to be with you anymore. But now he's changed his mind, you see. That's what we call, in Bible language, repenting, changing your mind. I'm going back to my father. You see, there are two interpretations, really, of this parable. You can think of it in terms of a sinner coming home to God, in the sense that God, the great creator, who made us through sinless, seen us lose our way. Or you can think of it in terms of a Christian, a backslider, who's got away from the Lord. You know, that's possible, isn't it? We've been saved. We can remember the day when we trusted Jesus as our Savior. But somehow things have taken the place of the Lord in our life, and we wandered away. That's what really, I suppose, is the main emphasis here. He's coming home. He's going home. He's changed his mind about the sin and stupidity in which he involved himself. And going home. Isn't there a beautiful hymn that says, Lord, I've wasted many precious years, but now I'm coming home. Great place to be, isn't it? Home. Anyway, he gets ready. I don't know whether he offered his resignation to the Father, but takes off for home. Boy, I imagine he was scratching his head on the way, wondering, what it would be like? What am I going to say? Will I really get in trouble? Remember, it's a long way. He went off to a distant land, distant country. He's coming home. But you know, there was somebody looking. Remember? There was looking. And it was his dad. And the Bible goes on to say, if you read the story, when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and ran. Fell on his neck. This intensely meaning of the word. Very special word. He really, really wanted this son to feel well. Well, what do you think about it? I don't know how old Dad was. I expect he was beyond the age of playing soccer. I imagine he was maybe not as old as me, but he was perhaps a little elderly. But he says he ran. Forgot about his arthritis and his rheumatism and all that stuff. To meet. I love that. Boy, what a beautiful picture of God. You see, he's seeking us. He's looking out for us. He's been scanning the horizon for you, hoping you'll come back. You will come home. You will come to Christ for the first time. That's it, the picture. God loves us, remember? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Eternal life. God's looking. Now there's another verse in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6. It says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Now when the seeking Savior meets the seeking sinner, there is salvation. Beautiful, isn't it? Yes. We aren't just to sit there like, you know, a dumpling doing nothing. It's our privilege to seek the Lord. And we're not going to be able to do that for always. You can't keep putting it off. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. This man came and here's the Father looking and loving and longing for his Son. Sometimes think about this picture in my mind. Here he is, straight from the pigsty. And his father embraces him. See, God doesn't say to us, hey, you've got to clean up, you've got to get better, you've got to turn over a new leaf before you can become a member of my family. No, the Lord welcomes us as we are. You don't have to dress up in anything. Religion, morality, nicety, anything. Come as you are. God loves you. You're welcome. You've got to change your mind about sin. Turn your back on sin. Turn your back on the pigsty, so to speak. But as you come, the Lord will receive you. As the Father received his Son. Well, you know the rest of the story very quickly. He started up his little city. Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, but no more worthy to be called your son. Great big kiss from the dad. Couldn't say anything else about, could I become one of your slaves? One of your servants? No, God doesn't listen to all the stuff we want to say about ourselves. He just takes us as we are. Sinners. Come home. The Father says, he takes the son back into the house. One of the servants, go home and get the best robe you can find in the wardrobe. Get a ring. Get some shoes. It's my son. He's dead. But he's alive again. He didn't go on ahead to his son, did he? As far as he was concerned, he was dead. But now he was welcome. He was in the Father's sort of metaphor, he says he's alive. He was lost. But he's found. Great to be found, isn't it? Remember, we talked about perhaps you've been lost sometime when you were a little kid. Wasn't it a nice feeling when your mom, your dad, found you? Think of all the thousands of little children in what's happening in some parts of the world today. They don't have a mom, they don't have a dad. And there's nobody to find them and look them. Thank God for those agencies that are doing what they can. But what a feeling it must be. I saw a picture on the news just this week of a boy, and he lost his mum, he lost his dad, his siblings. He was all alone. You know, it's wonderful to be found. It's wonderful to know the Lord is the finder. You're a part of his family. No longer lost. Derelict. Down and out. The Bible actually uses this picture. It says, he picks people up out of an ash heap or a dunghill. And he brings them in to sit down as if they were princes in the royal family. Oh, what a wonderful God we have. There's some beautiful pictures, I think, in the gifts that we're given to him. We don't have time to go into them all, but imagine given a robe. That's what we were given in Jesus, the robe of righteousness. He was given a ring, a seal of relationship. Sealed by the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that. Shoes on the feet. You remember the old Negro spiritual song? It says, all God's children in heaven have shoes. Bare feet, sign of slavery. Shoes, a sign of sonship. Family. And a job to do. You know, your feet, if you're a Christian, it says we are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So to speak, God's put shoes on you so you can go out and tell people about Jesus. Well, we better say something about the other guy. Here they were. The father had said, go and kill that fatted calf. for like a few steaks on him. Go and kill the family and let's eat and drink and be married. My sons come home. Somebody said that was the only sad person that day, the fatted calf. But here comes the older brother. He's out on the farm. He's not interested in what's happening. And he won't go in to the party. He knows what's happening because he found out from one of the servants. Your brother has come home. Well, I'm not going in. That miserable wretch. Or anything to do with him. Can you believe this? The father goes out to find him too. See, we can become so sort of holier than thou, so sure of ourselves as Christians, that we, who cares that sinners are going to hell? That can be our attitude almost. I'm not coming into the party. But Dad goes out. You're my son. You know what he said? That son of yours has wasted all that money in the far country. Do you know what the father says? Your brother has come home. Is it? See the difference? Your son didn't want anything to do with it. Father says, your brother. Isn't it beautiful to have brothers and sisters? That's what happens when you're a Christian. You become a part of your family. Seems so sad that he didn't want anything to do with this wonderful occasion. So in a sense, it's not really the story of the prodigal son only, is it? It's the story of the prodigal elder brother. We didn't want anything to do with this coming home of his younger brother. And he didn't go in. He says he could hear the music and the dancing. He wouldn't go in. What was the story we learned last week from those other two parts of this great parable? Likewise, there is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner who repents, rather than over 99 of them who say, I don't need to repent. I'm okay. I don't need God. Well, that doesn't cause any joy in heaven. And one sinner changing his mind, coming home, is joy in heaven. Boy, do you know what? If people get saved during a service or in the fellowship of an assembly or church, there's usually great joy. People say, oh, so-and-so has trusted the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Welcome into the family. Yes. For there's joy in heaven. Wow. Not just joy among the angels, but remember it says there was joy in the presence of the angels. God himself rejoicing over sin. Who comes home. It's a beautiful story, isn't it? But there's so much more. We can't take time now to go into it. But think about all the blessings that are ours in Christ. We wouldn't want to go away and leave it, would we? Or if you feel you have, why not come back today? You know, those Pharisees, they were almost happy to refuse publicans and sinners into fellowship with God. They were glad when people who lived like that were dead and gone. You know, as Christians, sometimes we can be so unforgiving. We, okay, say, oh, yeah, we'll forgive.
But we don't.
We always remember. You know, somebody's name comes up. Oh, yeah, you remember. God is like that. God says, their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Hallelujah. I have blotted out your transgressions like a cloud. Who is a pardoning God like you? Says the prophet Micah. Thank God. He forgives and he forgets. Have you ever thanked him for welcoming you into his family or welcoming you home? There is joy in heaven when you come home. Well, just think about it. I don't know, maybe some of us who are younger, we've never trusted in Jesus as our Savior. We know that he loves us very much and he died to save us. Have we ever said thank you to him for that? Maybe some of us who are older, we've lived for ourselves, spent our time for self, maybe said, we should come home today. If you don't know what that means, well, there are people here who would love to sit down and pray with you and help you come back to God. Let's pray. Lord, we realize that these old stories are not just stories about things that happened in the past, but they're about things that are happening today. Maybe in our lives. Maybe there's someone here today who feels lost and lonely and helpless, needing a friend, needing a family. Please help them to realize that you are saying today, come home, come home. Think of the words of that old hymn. There's room at the cross for one. Thousands have come, but there's still room for one. So, Lord, please bless our simple meditation upon your word and may your Holy Spirit use it. Not just to enlighten our minds, but to touch our hearts and move our will that we may say yes to Jesus. And get the ring and the ring and shoes for serving you, winning those who are lost. So we give thanks. Pray again for our friends who are away today that they'll have a real blessing in their lives. Take care of them all, we pray. Bring them safely back. Thank you so much for every blessing, Lord. Amen.